Inflation is out of control. Gas hit $7 a gallon in certain states. A 10-year-old Honda Civic is going to set you back around 15 to 20 grand. And rent is averaging $2,000 a month. Welcome to 8.6% inflation. And it doesn't look like it's going to get better anytime soon. So what can you do? You can try trading stocks or buying mutual funds, but returns are sinking quickly. You might have heard about gold IRAs, but you don't know much about them. That's why Noble Gold has a team of experts at the other end of the phone. They'll set you straight on what you can and can't do to get yourself to financial safety again. And if you act now, they're giving away an incredible 1/10 ounce American Eagle Gold proof coin with every qualifying IRA or 401k rollover. You can't go wrong with gold or Noble Gold. Call them now at 877-646-5347 to find out more or visit them at noblegoldinvestments.com.
But the bankers, in my view, looked ahead and they saw how important silver was in the monetary system. And that's why the crime of 1873 was instrumental when William Jennings Bryan gave the speech about getting nailed on the cross of gold, and that the Eastern banking establishment had the gold. They wanted a monometallic standard. They wanted a one gold standard. They wanted the yellow brick road, the Emerald City, where they controlled everything.
Hey friends, Sean from SGT Report here. Thank you so very much for tuning in. That was David Morgan, the silver guru. And in this conversation, we discuss the great silver conspiracy and so much more. I think you're going to enjoy this interview. So thanks for tuning in. Before we start, just a quick word about our sponsor. There are hundreds of so-called experts predicting that Bitcoin will go down to $10,000. But Bitcoin generally seems to do the opposite of what people predict it will do. My digital money is here to give you the facts about the crypto market. And the fact is that every dip is an opportunity. When Bitcoin dipped to $17,000, it was institutional investors and billionaires that bought. And that's why they're billionaires. When you're ready to invest in cryptocurrency, my digital money is here. Whether you want to own a crypto IRA or trade in cash, my digital money is a US-based crypto company that will answer your call. And they're ready to help you every step of the ups and downs. Every dip is an opportunity for gains, and mydigitalmoney.com will be there for you. You can call them at 833-636-2008 or visit them directly at mydigitalmoney.com. Hey friends, welcome back. Thank you so much for tuning in. It's Sean from SGT Report here. It's fantastic to have you guys here, and it's been far too long since I've had on the one, the only David Morgan. He's the silver guru. And boy, that is a tough moniker to wear when all the powers that ought not be have done for the past decade is beat the heck out of those of us who love physical silver and honest money. David, how are you?
As well as be expected under the circumstances. That's my answer, Sean.
Well, as we're having this conversation today, the Fed will probably raise rates 75 basis points. So we can talk about what you think comes next. Recession, depression, will they start to ease because things are getting so tight and so bad for so many? We'll talk about that. But first of all, let me ask you straight out. You and I used to talk regularly for, you know, years, and we haven't talked in several years. Did you ever think that in 2022, I'd have you on and silver would be at $18.50 an ounce? I mean, honestly.
No, absolutely not. I mean, I probably bet the farm or two farms or borrowed for a third farm and bet all of them that we wouldn't be probably at least 40 or higher. And of course, here we are at 1850, you just said. So no, not in my wildest imagination did I ever expect to see these type of silver prices, and especially the type of environment we're now facing.
Yeah. Well, and meanwhile, our listeners know, yours certainly know, that it is the paper manipulation, the billions of ounces a week of paper silver that are thrown at the market that suppress the price. And people like Jamie Dimon, JP Morgan, Deutsche Bank, international banks really working in collusion to cap the prices. So we know that that is happening. It's quantifiable. Do you ever see silver hitting a fair market price, a real world price, amidst all of this international money printing?
You know, I've obviously thought about that a great deal. And, you know, I try to do the Ayn Rand, who was quite an intellectual in my view. And, you know, she goes back to check your premises. And one of the premises is that all manipulations eventually end. So that's a start. But that does that guarantee that this one will? And the reason I asked that question is it possible that we get a reset in the total monetary system? In other words, get moved over into a central bank digital currency, either on a nation state basis or maybe even a global basis, before silver has had its time to shine? And the answer to that is I'm not sure. I do think that we will see a free traded price in silver in the not too distant future. And I base that on the confluence of synergies. What does that mean, David? It means that we're seeing inflation that people really understand because it affects their every time they fill up the gas station and when they go to the grocery store. So that can't be denied. You're seeing disruptions between nation states as far as supply chains are concerned. You're seeing food shortages manifest. So there are a lot of things that are pointing to stability. And with all the instability, the one thing that's been the most stable throughout history is gold and silver, particularly silver in a crisis situation. As you may recall, Sean, when I wrote the 10 Rules of Silver Investing back for the Investing Rules book almost 20 years ago, rule number one was rather gloomy. I mean, number one, to the best of my memory, went something like, no one likes to be a prophet of doom. But in the unlikely event of an all-out financial collapse, silver will be the money of last resort, not gold, because silver will be used for day-to-day transactions and gold will have too strong a unit value price to be used in daily commerce. That's the essence of it, not word for word. And that really hasn't gone away in my view. And the reason I say that with some authority is because we have alternatives now. We have a bunch of cryptocurrencies, but they require a grid, they require a phone, they require electrical power, and silver doesn't. The other thing is the anonymity of silver. It's much more discreet than doing something with an electronic transaction. I know that there's a subset of being able to cover your tracks with, let's say, a Bitcoin transaction or Ethereum or whatever. I understand that, believe me, I do. But it's not easy. And it's really more cumbersome. So I still look at what is taking place in the near future, and I cannot dissuade myself from the idea that we are in a situation that silver could do what silver does, shock everybody, even the silver guru. I mean, I remember watching silver go from $6 in January 1979 to $50 in January 1980. An 850% increase in 1 year. And that's why I coined the phrase, and it wasn't me, it was actually Jeff Christian was the first one that said it. He probably regrets telling me. I don't know if he does or he doesn't, that's immaterial. But he's the one that actually said 90% of the move comes in the last 10% of the time. And you don't have to tell me too much about the silver market, one sentence and I'll hear it, I'll probably remember it. And that's what happened in 1980. The exact math was something like, I forget the exact numbers, like 89% of the move came in the last 7% of the time. If you do the arithmetic, and that presupposes you pick the exact start and end time and all that stuff. The point being is that these markets, especially silver, tend to move rapidly at the last instance. In other words, like the housing bubble, for example, it's that last parabolic move up, where everybody's certain that real estate only goes up in price and you can't lose. And the only thing you have to do is mortgage that third house you just bought because it's gone up in price. You can leverage off of that and buy the fourth home and that type of thing. Silver, I think, will be exceptional because it's been suppressed for so long. And when these shorts have to cover for one reason or another, because the manipulation is coming to an end or they see it coming to an end, I think that's going to give it extra, what I would call juice as a slang term, extra momentum, probably beyond what even I expect. Now, am I right or wrong? Time will tell. I don't think we have a lot of time to have to worry about it. I do believe that the way things are going, Sean, that we probably have, I'd say 2-3 years at the most. I really don't think we can go 3 years. I expect this year, by the end of this year, Goldman Sachs has already said gold would be 2,500 by year end. Whether or not that's true or not, I don't know, but so Goldman said it. So with that as a basis, seeing silver above 30 by the end of the year, I don't think is unimaginable. And that's almost double from where we are right now, as you well know. The fact is that people have such short memories. If you go back to like 1900 and you didn't have any silver, you had zero money. None. We were totally on a silver standard for the most part, globally, which means that that was the money. And yet here we are, you know, 120 years in the future, and silver's not money. It's only an industrial commodity. You don't need it. You don't want it. It gets suppressed. Even if you own it, you wish you hadn't. And all these things go on and on. So things could change very rapidly in the monetary sphere. But the bankers, in my view, looked ahead and they saw how important silver was in the monetary system. And that's why the crime of 1873 was instrumental when William Jennings Bryan gave the speech about getting nailed on the cross of gold, and that the Eastern banking establishment had the gold. They wanted a monometallic standard. They wanted a one gold standard. They wanted the yellow brick road, the Emerald City, where they controlled everything. And when you think about it, why is there the fact that no central bank uses silver as a monetary asset? Think of the reverse. Think if banks did use silver as a monetary asset, what would the price be then in fiat? It'd probably be equal to gold, or at least some modest multiple thereof, maybe 1/10 the price of gold, or even the monetary standard, 1/15 the price of gold. But they don't. Silver has been moved out to the sidelines and it's been ostracized and it's been manipulated with the amount of paper, as you outlined in the beginning, Sean. So I think that's a good intro. Hopefully I covered a lot of the thinking of everybody that looks to me sort of like, and there are many others. I mean, at one time it was me, Ted Butler, and, you know, maybe Ed Steer. And now, of course, there are, you know, literally 50 people I can name that are very well versed in the silver market, probably could take over the silver guru moniker. But hopefully that was a good intro for you.
Well, you mentioned Jeff Christian, and you'll recall that CFTC testimony going back more than 10 years now, where with all the hubris that Jeff Christian could muster, he admitted that the silver market is much bigger than the market people see in terms of a $20 billion market, because it trades 100-1 the underlying physical, Jeff Christian said. And everybody's jaw dropped that he admitted that. Now I think it's far worse than 100-1, the underlying physical. And I think that the bankers manipulate it and are allowed to manipulate it and get away with manipulating silver and gold, David, because it's a national security threat. Silver and gold, fairly priced, is a national security risk to the U.S. dollar. You know, that's why the manipulation continues unabated.
No, perfectly said. I can't add to that, Sean. And you nailed it succinctly. That's the reason. They do not want the populace to wake up and diss the dollar. If the dollar goes away, then what do you have left? I mean, the whole global system is based on the dollar as a reserve currency. And yet when you talk about a dollar, what are we talking about? Well, we're talking about fiat Federal Reserve note. But in reality, a dollar is about 3/4 of an ounce of fine silver. That's what a dollar still means. And, you know, no one thinks, I want to digress for a second, Sean. I did an interview with Mike Adams not that long ago, and I looked at the number of billionaires in the world. There's something like 2,700 billionaires in the world. And so how many silver billionaires could there be? And that would be having 1 billion silver dollars, okay? And 1 billion silver dollars is like 770,000 ounces of silver. That's the true weight of a dollar. It's, 71.25 grains of 999 fine silver. The point being is all of the silver that's available above ground for investment purposes, you could probably at best have 3, maybe 4 silver billionaires, not the 24 or 2700 that exist in currency form. And that shows you what the real monetary standard could be and the discipline that it develops for the for all transactions, really. But we gave up on the silver standard basically in 1873, but really in a practical way in 1965 in the United States. And then the gold standard was closed internationally in 1971. It was closed domestically in 1933. So the precious metals have had their day. And I don't think the story is over, Sean. I think that there is a bright future for precious metals holder again in the not too distant future.
Well, I do too. You mentioned all the billionaires, 2,700 billionaires in the world. I didn't know it was that high, but it makes sense in a fiat world where trillions and trillions, hundreds of trillions have been created out of thin air. But speaking of billionaires, there's one in Texas. You've probably heard this. Andy Scheckman at Miles Franklin went public stating that a billionaire in Texas, a female billionaire, contacted Andy and made a $50 million purchase of American Silver Eagles. And she says she may go as deep as $1 billion over time into precious metals. So that's just one billionaire. I mean, imagine the impact that multiple billionaires would have on this market and the price discovery that then would occur. It would be forced to occur. There'd be a force majeure on the COMEX, which yes, we continue to wait for, don't we?
We do. And I just want to back up just slightly. I got a personal call from Andy, and she did buy $50 million worth of product. Half of it went to gold, half of it went to silver.
Okay.
And she wanted basically all U.S. products. So in her gold side, she bought, I think, 1933 and pre-gold coins. And then on the silver side, she wanted Silver Eagles total, but they were unable to fill the order in Silver Eagles only. And Andy said he was 20 hours on the phone, pretty much nonstop. That's what he told me. And he got 900,000 Silver Eagles. The best price I could find on the net today was 25, which is what, an $18 silver, $7 over, do the percentage. That's a hell of a premium. In that case, if that were the numbers, and I don't know, I'm guessing, I'm making an educated guess, that would be almost her full order. And she fulfilled the order with 900,000 Silver Eagles, bags of what we call junk silver, a constitutional silver, and some dollars like Morgan dollars and Peace dollars. So they're all, again, U.S. minted. So this begs the question, I'll be interviewing Bill Holter later today, is, okay, great, you pretty much wiped out the supply right now with a $25 million order going into physical silver from that specific product. So I don't think she has a lot of alternative on her next purchase, if and when it takes place, to not go to bullion, which of course to me is the Achilles heel, because the whole system is built on a commercial bar inventory, not on what us retail investors buy. Of course, it's important. And, you know, a lot of pre-65 coins have been melted down into bars. There isn't a lot of junk silver left. There's very few silver dollars left. There really isn't a lot of silver outside of what's been in the Silver Eagle program and other government programs that have been up for several years now. 1986 was the start of the Silver Eagle. But Sean, back to you. There's a lot more in this market. And as you said earlier, and I think it bears repeating, when you look at the amount of volume in silver that's taken place versus what the physical supply is, it's astronomical. There's no other commodity on the futures exchange that has the ratio of volume of paper versus physical. And silver stands head and shoulders above everything else. It's like 3 days worth of oil is traded ahead of time. And it's, I forget the numbers. Gold's pretty heavy, as you would expect, because it's also suppressed with the amount of paper, but silver is something like 2 months or something, and it varies, but it's just astronomical compared to the ags or the energies or the softs or any other commodity. There's so much, let's say, paper manipulation, I'll use that word, paper suppression, paper thrown at it, whatever you want to talk about, and 100-to-1 ratio is probably obviously, that's what Jeff said during the CFTC investigation. He actually told me that privately on an interview I did with him before that. But that's just, I think, what we see on the COMEX. We don't really know how much goes on at the LBMA. And so if you go to the over-the-counter market, which is opaque, we can't see into it at all. We can only guess. It's probably even greater than 100-to-1.
Yeah. Well, I think so too. And, you know, I listened to an interview. I wish I had clipped it out for you. I'd play it right now. So I'm going to paraphrase, but it was with a insider in the solar panel industry in China, an expert on it. And he was saying that the next generation of solar panels is going to use twice the amount of silver as the current generation. And then the generation of solar panels after that is going to use, and I can't remember if he said 6 or 10 times or 30 times, but an astronomical amount of silver will be used in future solar panels. So the real world demand for this highly valuable, tangible, manipulated product, silver, is only going to grow. So I don't know how they cap this price forever. I mean, I guess there will be a point in the future, if this continues, if this charade continues, where they'll just sell 1 trillion ounces of paper silver a week to cap the price.
Yeah. And at some point it breaks, because you can sell 1 trillion or 2 trillion for that matter, but that's just paper. And that paper doesn't equal silver. You just brought up a point that I'd forgotten about somewhat. I did an interview with Matt Watson. Matt is an independent metals analyst. He looks at everything, lithium, cobalt, silver and gold, of course. And he made a projection. In fact, I had him on my mastermind series. And he showed, based on his work, that 10 years out, so actually 2030, so 8 years from now, that the amount of silver needed for industry alone would take up the entire silver market. Think about that. That would be no silver available for silverware, no silver available for silver jewelry, and no silver available for investment purposes. Now, I want to elaborate on that, Sean, to give people the idea of how much industrial demand has gone up. If you go back to the year 2000, 35% of the market was for industrial purposes. If you go to 2021, 55% of the silver was for industrial purposes. But we know 35 to 55 is a large increase. But here's the kicker, and this is what people need to think about. In 2000, there were only 550 million ounces of silver mined that represented 35% of the market. Now it's 55% of the market, and we mine 850 million ounces. So if we do just a thought experiment very quickly, and for some reason or other, the amount of silver that was available economically to get out of the Earth's surface was flat, let's say, at 550 million ounces. It's not. It went up. I admit that. But just a thought experiment. Let's just say it was flat for 20 years, like it's been in the past. Then you would have a 55% increase on 850, which is roughly the total silver supply. So what I'm trying to convey here is that I see what Jim Dines coined as a natural corner. When you quarter a market, if the Hunts came in there or a Shake came in there, or the, you know, and that's all true. I mean, you could corner markets. We tried several times in the past in various markets. But when you look at a natural corner where the industry alone sucks up every available ounce, and when this happens, there'll be a synergistic effect, because what will take place is that the investors will see what's happening and they'll bid the price of silver up, but the manufacturers will have to have it or they're out of business. So we're getting kind of a bidding war. So this is why I said earlier when we started this interview that what I see actually portends something that even I might be shocked by, and that is what silver can do. It can shock anybody, including yours truly.
Friends, thanks so much for tuning in to SGT Report. This is a good time for a quick word about our sponsor. The CPI print on Friday, June 10th was 8.6%. That's the official inflation rate in the United States. And guess what? The real rate may be quite a bit higher. Some say 15 to 20%. Don't you think you need to be smarter with your money? You need it to grow, not shrink. You need financial freedom, not debt. Start a gold IRA with Noble Gold right now, and you'll be safe. And if you act now, they're giving away an incredible 1/10 ounce American Eagle Gold proof coin with every qualifying IRA or 401k rollover. You can't go wrong with gold or Noble Gold. Call them now at 877-646-5347 to find out more, or visit them at noblegoldinvestments.com. Yeah. Well, I should have pointed this out at the start of the interview. It's David's website, guys, themorganreport.com. If you go to the main page and then click blog, you'll see a lot of free content here. And David has produced a 23-episode crypto conspiracy series, which, let's talk about that, David. I'm coming back to you. Do you think crypto, the demand for crypto, of course, crypto's in sort of a bear market right now. Do you think the demand for crypto over the past several years has really stemmed the tide of investment demand for silver? Because so many young people now, they don't give two hoots about silver or gold. They want crypto.
Yeah, I do. First, I didn't think it was that big an impact. But as I started to see the effect with the metals and the amount of money going into crypto, I realized that it had a large impact. And that series that you just said, the Crypto Conspiracy Series, 23 episodes. If you go over to the right-hand side, there's a little search bar. And if you type in the word crypto, it'll bring up all 23. was certainly you'd have to binge for a couple of weekends to get through them all, but there are some pertinent ones in there. And additional to that, you might type into the search bar the silver psyop. And what's the silver psyop? A psychological operation. And what the silver psyop was an interview, and I've done about four of them. First one with John Perez. And John maintains, and I tend to agree with him, that the psychological operation was gold bad, crypto good. Bitcoin is the new gold. Gold, everything that happened with Bitcoin surrounded gold. Think about it. Every time you saw a pseudo Bitcoin, it was a gold coin. Every time you heard one of the major whales talking about Bitcoin, it was gold 2.0 or better than gold or digital gold or superior to gold. Why is gold even in the equation? One is a software on a blockchain and the other is gold. They're about as opposite as you can get. And yet, the psychological operation was the old adage is they're kind of buried in our consciousness. You know, it's as good as gold or the gold standard. I did a lecture on this three times talking about what if silver were treated like gold and the discrepancies between the psychological impact of the gold standard and as good as gold and gold as being the top notch and the silver being junk silver or melt or some other acronym. Or adjective, rather, that kind of degrades silver. There is, of course, every cloud has a silver lining. And even that isn't like, you know, really favorable. And of course, there's born with a silver spoon in your mouth. But most of the known adages towards silver are neutral to somewhat negative, whereas almost anything to do with gold is positive. So you asked me about silver, and it certainly spilled over in the silver market, which is much smaller than the gold market. But this was, according to John, and again, I tend to agree with him, a psychological operation to move the money that were currency, I should say, that could have, should have, and might have gone into the precious metals and diverted it into the crypto space. And as you know, and I'll say it, it's in my series, there's a lot of shite coins out there that have no backing whatsoever, and they're just basically a scheme to part you from your currency and give people hope of a Ponzi scheme, basically, that someone's going to buy something from you at a higher price than you bought it for.
Well, you know, I should have realized we're at a peak in the near-term peak in the crypto market back in November when I was working out at my health club and, you know, longtime friends who'd never talked to me about crypto were coming up and saying, hey, what do you think of crypto? You know, I'm following this newsletter and they're telling me to buy this and this and this. And everybody was talking about crypto and Bitcoin was supposed to go over 100,000. And it got to be a very crowded trade is what I'm trying to say. Yeah. And you can always see that very clearly in hindsight. Now, I think personally, Bitcoin is probably at a bottom or very near a bottom. So we could talk about that if you want, where you think Bitcoin will go ultimately. But what I really want to ask you is about inflation and hyperinflation, what you see happening with the dollar over the next 10 years. Because you, John Williams, me, John Williams, by the way, from shadowstats.com, we've been talking about the potential for hyperinflation of the dollar for the past 5 years. I mean, John Williams was saying we'd start to see hyperinflation in 2016, 17, 18. He continues to be wrong, but not because his math is wrong. It's because the longevity of the dollar and the manipulation of markets is just far more sweeping than I think any of us ever guessed it would or could be. So where do you see things going? The Fed's going to hike today as we're having this conversation. They're going to cause, if they haven't already, a recession. So that may tame inflation in the near term. Where do you see this thing going? How does this story play out?
Well, we'll answer your question about where do we see the dollar in 10 years and all associated with it. Just want to back up on Bitcoin a little bit. Number one, I did call the top. I call the top at 6666 Bitcoin. Secondly, you asked me, where do I see it going? I see it going below 10,000. And the other part about Bitcoin that not too many bring to the fore is that it sucks a lot of energy. I've heard the counter arguments by Michael Saylor, so more than what you flare off the oil fields, and it's, you know, you can get this free energy that's not being used anyway. Look, I know both sides of the argument. But what I also want to impart into your viewers at SGT Report is interference by the powers that shouldn't be. And they're going to say it's an energy drain and we got to curtail it. So there's some headwinds against Bitcoin and others that use energy as the mining process. So I'll leave it at that. Coming to your core question, where do I see the dollar in 10 years? There will not be a dollar in 10 years. I'll put my reputation on that. And from the beginning of the interview, people know that Mr. Morgan can be wrong because I would have put my reputation on the fact that silver wouldn't be at 1850 if you would have asked me, 10 or 20 years ago in 2022. So am I right? I don't know. I doubt it. I believe I'm right. I don't think you'll see a dollar in 10 years. What's going to lead into it? Well, first of all, I want to back up and refresh everybody's memory of how sensitive the silver market is to inflation. When we had the first Paulson interaction where we basically forced the banks, I think it was $850 billion, Sean, you may remember the exact number, and he had this special influx of capital because of the financial crisis of 2008, and that was going to take care of it, and it didn't. And then they went to QE1, quantitative easing, first one. And the markets kind of calmed down. Everyone kind of got a grip and things seemed to go on okay. And then silver was at about a 19 level and had been in a channel for a long time. And I told my premium members, my paid subscribers, that I was looking, and I do futures very seldom, but if I see a setup like this, I'm going to take advantage of it. So I suggested to them that, and I told them what I was doing, if silver went above 19 on a breakout and stayed there for 3 days in a row, I would go long silver, and I did. And silver went from 19 all the way to 26 rather rapidly. And I thought, man, that's a pretty good trade when you're leveraged. And I got out, I think it was 24, 26, in the mid-20s. And then QE2 was announced, Sean. I immediately got back in and rode it all the way to 48, and I called that top. And so what I'm suggesting here, or not even suggesting, what I'm saying flat out, is that at that time, the market knew that QE2 was highly inflationary and silver reacted because it's so highly inflationary. But the rest of the story is you never saw it. You didn't see it in gasoline. You didn't see it in food. You didn't see it in clothing. You didn't see it anywhere. And so then the market decided that, and the market came off from the around $50 level, very last day of April 2011. And basically from then till now, we've been in a sideways to downtrending market in silver, which has been very disheartening to all of us, getting down to March of 2020, where we got this 125-to-1 gold-silver ratio that lasted one day, but nonetheless did take place. Of course, that's only attainable on a futures market, on a paper market. It cannot take place in physical reality, but nonetheless, there you have it. So coach me a little more, Sean. I probably didn't answer everything you wanted to know, but I see no dollar in 10 years. I see a new central bank digital currency is what will be touted. I do think there'll be a great reject, not a great reset. I do think it'll be bifurcated, meaning that there will be the Internet of Things and people that are so brain dead, brainwashed and programmed with the television and the programming that has taken place for so long that they've been in tune with the Communist News Network and they actually believe they can think on their own when all they can do is regurgitate what they've been programmed to believe. Some of those people will readily adopt into the new system. But for those of us that could think outside the box, we will reject it in any way, shape or form that we possibly can. So there is some very interesting times ahead for all of us. And the main thing to do in my estimation is to stay spiritually fit, make sure you've got enough food or ability to grow your own, or at least make friends with your farming community, and look forward to what's probably going to be the greatest depression that's ever taken place. I start every newsletter with a quote, and then I write the editorial based on the quote. I've done this since inception of the Morgan Report. In April of a year ago, I quoted Elliot Janeway, and his quote was, "The next Great Depression will make the last Great Depression," meaning the 30s, "look like a small technical correction." Well, the 30s was a devastating depression. It was more than just the United States, and people starved to death in the Great Depression, although very few people will even talk or admit that. So if the next one, according to Janeway, is going to be worse than that one, we are facing some very difficult problems ahead of us. And I'm not doing it. I don't want the doom card. I really, Sean, you know me. I don't know how many of your viewers have seen me in the past, I try to stay grounded and factual as I possibly can. I have a strong engineering background. I worked as an engineer for a number of years, and I have a lot of more logic to my thinking than most people because of the way an engineer is trained to think. But nonetheless, what I just outlined to you would be a worst case scenario, but I think it's more probable than most people would ever care to consider.
Well, the final topic then probably should be the Great Reset versus the Great Awakening. I continue to say the good news is we can now identify the enemy by name. So people like Klaus Schwab, Bill Gates, of course, the Rothschilds, the Rockefellers, the CFR, the Bilderberg Group, you know, Club of Rome. We now know exactly who these people are. So that's the good news. The bad news is they're not going to stop. Okay. All their chips are in. They want to engineer a famine. They're destroying the economy really on purpose. The Democrats would have gotten away with it too if it weren't for Manchin and Sinema stopping the Build Back Better, $6 trillion they wanted to flood. I mean, it's complete treason across the board. But the good news is we the people can see it. So what do you see happening with this next election? What do you say, and what do you see happening to dear leader Biden in 2024? Will he make it that far?
Yeah, I see a shift in the next election. I think that the Republicans will, you know, gain power, so to speak. I mean, Biden, you know, being a man with a heart, I mean, I feel sorry for him. It's just unfortunate in a way that he represents, quote unquote, the free world, and he basically has dementia. It's very sad, but he's not going much further. He may not make it to the end of the year, and he may probably won't fill out his full term. That's a very strong belief of mine.
Yeah, I think you're probably right about that.
Yeah. So I do think that we're beyond repair, even if we get, let's say, more constitutionally oriented power into the current system, because the current system has been so convoluted and there's so little adherence to the law of the land, which is the Constitution, and all these mandates and color of law and everything that's taken place over the last 100 years or so has just muddied the water so much that no one really knows what the truth is or cares to dig deep enough to find out how simple it really is.
But people are waking up in droves, right? And then they stole the election because the droves showed up to vote for Trump and they gave us Biden. So let me ask you this real quick before we go.
Sure.
I've been asking my guests, at least those that understand the economy and the dollar, what do you think about states' rights? What do you think about the fact that if the dollar were to crash in a contrived crash or one that was just brought about by the trillions of debt, what do you think about states like Texas, Florida, et cetera, South Dakota, issuing their own currency via their own state treasury to try to rebuild economies on a state-by-state level?
Yeah, excellent. And you read my mind. This is the direction we're going to see. Again, going back to what I said earlier, you know, some people will opt for the Internet of Things and be in the system. But a great majority, I'd probably be the majority. I think it's the majority. I could be wrong. I'm biased because I'm one of them. But you're going to see states' rights, and you're going to see more and more individual rights. And that's how the whole system was set up. The idea was that you had God-given rights, and your God-given rights were secured by the Constitution. The Constitution was set up to secure your God-given rights. In fact, they were so specific, they spelled out 10 in the Bill of Rights that were inalienable. They were given to you because you are a human being and protected by the government. That was the function of the government. So people that know that will break off into what I guess Cliff High calls self-organizing collectives. And that could be as small as maybe, I don't know, make up a number, 25 in your local community, to maybe 250 to 2,500, but it will go back to the people, and the people that really want to assert their own sovereignty will do so. And in that case, they could come up with all kinds of imaginative ideas that work. If you go back and study, you know, the money question as long as I have, you know, the Ithaca dollar, for example, you can make up receipts in your own community as long as everyone agrees to it on a labor hour basis or what have you. You can create your own economic system that still provides for the division of labor and makes the community stronger, because the division of labor is very important to get the maximum effect out of everybody's ability to work at certain levels. In other words, my ability to work as an engineer makes it more effective for me to trade money for an automobile than for me to work as an engineer and try to find something that someone needed and get an automobile for it. I think we all understand that. So there's a lot to be thankful for. There's a lot to be grateful about, and there's a lot to stand up and fight for. And this is the problem I see, John, is the ability to, for more and more to wake up. But as you said earlier with the crypto, when you're in your gym and people all there, that's going to take place in the Great Awakening. In fact, I believe it already is, meaning that, hey, you know, I heard this crackpot from Spokane, the silver expert. It started to make sense to me. You know, actually what he said actually kind of resonated with me. And this is what we, I'm not talking about me. My ego isn't that big. But the point being is that there is nothing more powerful than the truth. People like you, and I'll say it publicly, or at least to your viewers, have been instrumental in helping people see the bigger picture. I mean, you, I think, were one of the first to talk about the Mockingbird Press. That's an actual term, the Mockingbird Press, and the ability for the, let's say, the supporters of the power elite to be able to lie point blank, day after day, on the television and tell people whatever they want. I think it was at Casey or one of the CIA's top dogs said that when the American people believe 100% nothing's true, we have succeeded. Something along those lines.
No, your paraphrasing is pretty accurate there. And I think just about everything the American people do believe is a lie. And people are waking up to the lies about the mRNA bioweapon masquerading as a vaccine. That's really at the top of the list. And then I always like to dig deeper and get into the lies of NASA. And did we really put men on the moon in 68, 69, 70 and never go back? These are questions that thoughtful people like to ask. And thoughtful people also like to buy physical silver and gold. Guys, I use SD Bullion. They're a sponsor at SGT Report. The banner ad is at the top of my website if you want to click through to get some physical silver or gold. But also, I would recommend the Morgan Report. David, tell people how they can get it.
Sure, there's a subscribe button on the main site there. There's actually, we've got a new landing page, which is basically a sales page. And on that sales page, I really would like everyone to take the time to scroll down just slightly and watch an interview I did with Daniela Cambone. And I said, this is a much watch. Keep going, Sean. It's beyond that. But I did a bail in. This is it right here. Only interview I've ever done in my car. And once you know, it gets 2 million views. But this talks about a bail-in scenario. It's illegal to bail out the banks anymore. They can only be bailed in, which means you, as a U.S. person, are responsible to bailing in the faults of your government, and you will get a receipt as an unsecured creditor, and you'll be part shareholder in a bank that's failing, and you won't get your money. That's the worst case. So I think everyone should take a look at that interview. And what I suggested in that interview, since I'm not a registered investment advisor, although I have worked as one in the past, is to move your currency into precious metals. Not all of it, but some of it. Remember, there's nothing magic about silver and gold except in instances like this, these times in history where it's imperative that you have it. And most of the time when you have a sound money system, you know, it's just money. It's a tool. But now when you don't have any certainty about the future based on what we discussed this hour or so, it's very important that you have not only food, water, shelter, community, friends, that type of thing, which is really paramount, but you also have, if you can afford it, savings in real things, and that means the precious metals.
Yeah. Yeah, I've never felt more strongly now that food sources, storable food sources, relationships with farmers, community relationships, water, you know, all of those preps need to be in place as they engineer their United Nations Agenda 2030 dreams, which is to really, as Klaus Schwab would say, no more meat for you, dear slave, enjoy the insects. That's where they want to take us. And we're not going there, David. I really firmly believe they're going to have a very much more difficult time pulling it off than they thought they would. And a lot of that is in thanks to the mRNA bioweapon masquerading as a vaccine. It's woken up doctors, attorneys, people that would not come on my show 5 years ago, now ask to come on so that they can warn people about the bioweapon, their words. So I'm really hopeful about our situation here. And I know you are too. So we'll have to talk again more soon than 3 years from now, David. So I appreciate your time today. Thanks.
Oh, my pleasure, John. Thank you.
All right, friends, the website is themorganreport.com. Go check it out. And for real news every single day, visit us directly at sgtreport.com. That's the antidote to corporate propaganda. And yes, Mockingbird mainstream media lies. God bless you and yours. Bye-bye.
I also have one whistleblower inside of FEMA who said that the plan is to scare the hell out of everybody and scare them into going to the quarantine centers because they don't think they can collect everybody by themselves.